Oh, good morning. We're here at Peter Ford's house in Churchdown on Sunday, the 12th of September 2010. This is Malcolm King of the Gloucester Rugby Heritage Project. I have John Thayers with me as usual, and our guest this morning is Don Rutherford. Welcome, Don.
That's a pleasure.
Could we start right at the beginning? Where and when were you born?
Oh, God. 22nd of the 9th, 37. So you'll gather from that I'm nearly 73.
And what part of the country do you
Oh,
come from?
the north, the borough of Tynemouth,
All right.
In Northumberland,
Yeah.
as it was. It's now, what's it, Tyne and Wear or something strange like that.
And what school did you go to?
I went to the local, what was it, the grammar school, Tynemouth High School. I left there at 16. I knew I had to do national service. A chap who I knew from the cricket club, because I used to play quite a lot of cricket, said, "Oh, come and have a job for us for whilst you're waiting for to get called up," and so I did. I went down onto the Fish Quay in North Shields, and then comes national service 2 years, and I was tapped on the shoulder for the RAF, and that's sort of where the rugby. Well, I'd started rugby before that because I was a great soccer player and I loved soccer and Newcastle United. Who lost yesterday 2-0? That grieves me. But I used to watch Newcastle play rugby at school at the club, and then I got conned into training for soccer, but at the rugby ground. And so rugby gradually took over. And very quickly, I was playing for the Percy Park fourth team, third team, second team, first team, and I think I even played for Northumberland when I was 17. Pretty rapid promotion.
And did you play at fullback from the start?
Mostly, I did. The local club, Percy Park, put me in the centre. It was very clever. They had a county outside half and a county outside centre, so they put me in between. And I only got the ball when there was something on for me. If it was too difficult, they just missed me out. And afterwards, I thought, wow, that's brilliant. So you learn quite a lot from, people with much more experience than
Yeah.
I had.
And then the RAF promoted your rugby
It
career.
did, because suddenly the RAF were short of fullbacks, which I didn't know anything about. I played for Northumberland. This is sort of 56, 57, and a bit of 58. I got a phone call just saying, report to, and it was the RAF against, I think it was London Irish. And Blackheath used to play in those days. And apparently I played very well as a fullback, but I was about third or fourth on the list. And they had two internationals that before me, but were both injured. Anyhow, I got in, and I never got out for 2 years. And I played for the Combined Services as well.
So you played in the Triangular Tournament at
Yes.
Twickenham.
Oh, yes. I've been. Yeah, I was at Twickenham. I was post 19, 18, 19, something like that. Yeah.
Who would you say were the main influences on your early rugby career?
Well, I made reference to one man called Gordon Dobie. Who since passed away, but he was the one who conned me into training. He said, "I wasn't fit enough for soccer. Come down to the rugby club and we'd do some training," because he was a fullback as well. So I think he had quite a lot of influence in a very quiet, sort of suggestive way. And then the rest was, in those days, you learned by watching other players. I mean, I was a fullback from the word go, and I used to always look at the opposition halfbacks. Could he pass off his left hand or his right hand? Could he kick with his left foot, right foot? And I used to look at players like that, and I used to know that if it was most people are right-handed, most people are right-footed. But if you've got a left-handed player, a left-footed kicker, then you had problems because he would do things the opposite way. So I was quite astute, I suppose, at looking at my opponents, and that carried me through. So that was, I think you, in those days, you learned from your own experience if you had anything at all about you. But Gordon Dobie got me started.
Did you go abroad at all with the RAF?
Well, only on a, yes, we went on a tour. We went to Bayonne and Pau, and we went to Italy, played the Italian police. Again, the RAF was fantastic because I'd met Ken Richards, Brian Richards. These are internationals for Wales. Markham Price, met Peter Yarrington, a winger, flying winger called, was it Simmons or Simons? I think he played for the Wasps. And there was a sprinter on the wing. Oh, God. You just learned from everyone around you, and they were tremendously influential. And of course, it was a hobby, you know, even if in theory, if you had a job, as it were. But you just learned as you went along. It was good, and you were watching other people.
What did you then do when your national service ended?
Well, because I'd met these sort of people, and some of them were going to university or had been, they said, what are you going to do? You know, and I said, well, I'll probably just go back to the Northeast and carry on with a job. And anyhow, I went back to the Northeast for about a year and a half, and I played for England in the meanwhile, because my career was starting to take off, you know, playing for the RAF and Combined Services. And it stuck in my memory, and I wasn't terribly happy there. And I thought, well, I might go into teaching. So I applied to St. Luke's College in Exeter, because I had the minimum requirements. In those days, you had to have 7 O-levels, and I had 7 O-levels. And I remember writing a letter. You must have had it on the Friday. On the Monday, I had a letter back saying, you're in. No interview, nothing. Mine had already played for England. And Jimmy Smeal, who was the principal of St. Luke's College, was mad keen on rugby. And there were some tremendous players down there, even the famous Dickie Ussel. So it was quite an experience. So that's how I got.
Did you play sevens at all?
I played in the Middlesex sevens.
Oh, because they had a terrific seven, didn't they?
Yes, yeah, I think I must. They must have finished by the time I got there, because London Scottish were the team.
Oh, right.
And they had the Tremaine Rod and a few other Scottish internationals, and they waltzed. I think they won the Middlesex sevens for 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yes,
and I remember chasing after them.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Even though we were fit.
Yeah. Well, St. Luke's won it in 57, didn't they?
Well, I was doing my national service.
Yes, of course, I wasn't quite sure originally, when you were actually at St. Luke's.
Well, I was there 61, 64 to
Luke's.
Right.
Yes, I was there for that as a boy, and St. Luke's just ran everybody to exhaustion.
Well,
literally, other teams ended up lying on the ground unable to run.
Well, we had to be fitter than everyone else, because we were PE students, most of us. And that's precisely what we did, it was quite successful.
So it was St. Luke's that you first got into serious training, was it?
I suppose in a way, I played for England, and so I was, although I was training regularly, I used to train every day of the week, bar Sunday. Or if I was playing on a Saturday, I'd give Sunday a miss, which was unusual in that era, especially in the Northeast. By then I was playing for the first team at Percy Park, and I was training, and I always remember, because they only trained Tuesday and Thursday nights, and very rarely did they turn a full team. Occasionally we tried to get a full team out on a Thursday night, but in those days, in the amateur era, it was very difficult. But I did a lot of training. St. Luke's was fantastic for that, because suddenly I'm in the gym every day, I'm running around tracks, I'm swimming, I'm doing everything, you know. I could have climbed a tree, as easy as making.
It sounds to me as though even before you went to St. Luke's, though, you were training rather more than most players.
I definitely was. I was probably the only one in the club who trained every day. I don't know. And now why I did it, I don't know. My mother used to say, you're mad. She said, you know, it's raining. Why are you going out for a run? And I said, look, mother, I'm going to get a shower when I come in. You know, so that was me. I was off. I was always doing exercise. And it was one of those things.
So what did training consist of?
Well, mostly in those days, it was mostly running. But I'd watched an Irish team play at Percy Park. That must have been before I'd even played for Percy Park. And I looked at, once or twice, they had enough of the ball, and they'd move it across the field, and then they'd get stopped, so they'd move it back, and then they'd move it back again. And I'd worked it out. That must be 50 yards each time. That's 150 yards. So if I do 4 of those across the pitch, that will be one more than... So I must have been using this. My apologies, I had no idea how I was doing it. But I obviously was observing and watching. And I think more players in those days watched what was happening, because you had no other way of learning. So that's what I used to do. And I can still remember doing 300 yards. It was the other distance. I used to run from one goal line round the bottom of the pitch and up to the other one, and walk across, and I'd try and do 10 of those. So I was doing quite a lot of exercise, certainly by comparison with my fellow players. I was much fitter than they were.
And in those early days when you were learning the game, do you have memories of particular players who made a big impression on you?
Well, not at that stage, except for the national service. I must say there were some brilliant players there. There were either internationals or future internationals. And there was one or two rugby league players playing in the RAF, because in those days it was the only place you could mix the games, rugby league, rugby. You know, I knew nothing about the politics of it. And I always remember Frank Carl, the Great Britain and St Helens Rugby League, and Mike Sullivan of Leeds and Great Britain, and the late Jim Challoner of Warrington. And now these lads were as tough as hell, and their tackling was tremendous. So they were influential in a quiet sort of almost subliminal way.
Can you take us through your career at St Luke's? What were the highlights of that?
Well, I always remember dropping a goal from inside my own half, and everybody was, you know, everybody was staggered, and I was as well. But there was a slope on the, I have to be honest, there was a slope on the St Luke's pitch. Somebody passed the ball, and I was inside my own half, and I dropped a goal, and it went over, and they all went, good God. So that was my golden memory. Mm-hmm. I think I learnt more in the RAF by watching and playing at a level which I had not played before, because the RAF were playing, you know, pretty good sides. We used to go down to Cardiff, and I even came here to Gloucester one day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, played for the RAF against Gloucester. So you would learn a lot from your own experiences of watching and listening, and rather than people telling you what to do. Nobody told you what to do. You had to work it out. Peter and I discussed that. He was the same. He was brilliant at creeping around the scrums in his day, because the laws allowed it. He was legitimate, but he was brilliant at it. So I think there's an awful lot of learning from observation, not so much from people telling you what to do or do this, do that. Not a bit. It was general observation. You were playing with people who were probably quite competent in their own way, and so you learned from them as you went along.